I like serving because I have so much joy just seeing the smiles and seeing everyone around. Just really enjoy the blessing that God's given me with the talent of doing pictures, and I love to share it.
I like to serve because I feel connected to this church very much.
I like serving because just like being here, being available to help people, and it's just who I am.
All right, that's great stuff. Well, hey, good morning. Oh, come on, can we try that one more time? Good morning. All right, great. Thank you. Hey, my name is Jeff. I'm the new discipleship pastor here. I know I might look a bit of a new face. We've been here a whole 2 months, but we're absolutely loving it. This is part three of our series. We like serving. First, you win, others win. And today we're talking about how the kingdom wins. If you are a guest with us, thank you so much for being with us. Let me begin with this. I surrendered to ministry at age 20. It was before my 21st birthday. That's all I remember. And so our school had what was called Ministry Experience Days, ME Days. And my mentor said, why don't you go sign up and go teach somewhere? And I was like, oh, okay, sure. So I go out to the Boones. I go out and there's 97 miles that separates Ozark Christian College from Southwest Baptist University. So Jim that just came and did the mission moment, we're about 97 miles apart from my alma mater to where they are. And so I said, I hope we can be friends. Go Bearcats. But anyways, so I'm a Bearcat and it was out in between Bolivar, Missouri and Ozark. It was out in the Boones. It took me about an hour to get there. I didn't know where I was going. I got there very early. It was cold. And all of a sudden, another car pulls in. I went over my teaching, and I was like, oh, hey, there's this guy. So I get out of the car. I said, hey, good morning. And he goes, you today's preacher? And I said, I guess this is what you're stuck with. Kind of like this morning a little bit. But anyways, I was like, yeah, you're stuck with me. And he didn't think it was funny. And so we go inside. I thought I was funny every time. And I go in and I set my stuff down right about where you're sitting. There's only about seating for about 50 to 60 people in this old country white church with a tall steeple, if you can imagine that. Put my stuff down and he goes, no, you can't sit there, can't sit there. And I was like, oh, is there assigned seating? Again, I thought I was funny. He did not. So I said, oh, and he goes, that's Mary Margaret's seat. And I said, oh, okay. And so I put it one row over, and I was like, is this okay? He's like, yeah, and he turned on some lights. Comes back in, and he says, you can stand the door with me if you want. Oh, okay. I've never heard that, by the way, stand the door with me. So I go stand the door with him, and while I'm there, he's on this side, I'm on this side, parking lots that way. He starts telling me this story as people come in. You never believe what happened last week. I was like, oh, okay. What happened last week? Oh, there's this young gal that came in. I don't know what's going on with the young people today. And I'm thinking, you're saying this to a 20-year-old. I thought I was young, but anyways. He goes, yeah, we just knew she wasn't the right type. I thought, huh? He said she sat in her car for a little bit and had taken a while. And when she got out of the car, he immediately knew, again, she wasn't the right type because she wasn't dressed appropriately. I didn't know, and he didn't go into detail as to what that meant. But he said, so I went over, approached her and said, when we come to church, we bring God our best. That's not appropriate. You go home right now and you change into your best and then you can come back to church. And she drove off and he goes, no, didn't see her again. And I thought, I wonder why. That was my first ever experience being a guest preacher at another church. And I'll never forget the heaviness of that. I felt awful. There's two huge kind of principles that I got from that. Number one is that the gospel begins in the parking lot. And that poor gal did not receive or hear or experience the gospel. She experienced something different, I would say. Number two is that whatever your service is, it's kingdom work. If you're doing it for Jesus, it's kingdom work. You're not just filling a spot. You're not just filling in. You're not just doing this. You're not just whatever. You are engaging in kingdom work. If you look at statistics, do you know that they say, oh, here, let me ask you, what is the length of time it takes a first-time guest to decide mentally if they want to return to that church? How many minutes do you think it is? Oh, that was a great guess. It is, on average, 7 to 10 minutes. So if you think about it, this room's filled with a lot of young families. So if you as a young family come to church for the first time, you know there's that gauntlet that you got to go through, sign a waiver, prick your finger, sign in blood of putting a kid into a kid's church kind of thing. It's a process. You put your kid in kid's church, you got to sign all that stuff, you give them away, and then you go check out, oh, hey, there's a nice connection center. Maybe someone says something nice to you. You strike up conversation. Oh, there's restrooms. Use that real quick. Oh, free coffee. I'm in the free coffee. The service usually has already begun within your first 7 minutes of being at church. In the first 7 minutes, someone's going to make a decision whether they want to come back or not. Again, in other words, your service matters, no matter what it is. Every bit of service is kingdom service. So what we want to do today is we're going to go back to the initial passage that we began with 2 weeks ago, Ephesians chapter 4. I've been given the last verse, Ephesians 4:16. It's the best one. That's all right. I'm happy with it. But I was given that verse for us to kind of wrap this up of that the kingdom wins when you serve. So let's read this verse. He makes the whole body, the word there for fit, the whole body fit. And this is just me being honest, I'm not frugal. I'm cheap, and I'm okay with it. It's self-professed here. I'm not going to go out and buy a bunch of Legos that have tiny little pieces. We put one of these puzzle pieces on every seat. So just imagine it's a Lego piece. We're going to come back to this, but hold on to this and keep it for the end of the service, but we'll get to it here in just a second. That's your Lego. The word there for fits is where we get our word Lego. He makes the whole body fit Lego together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Now, the first thing that I'd say is fit. Now, you can force a puzzle piece or a Lego piece to fit, and it doesn't fit, and it messes everything up. And we're putting one together at our house. By the way, this is a Thomas Kincaid. So there's a challenge at the end of the service. Find your matching pieces, and you get a special prize. There's only 1,000 pieces, so good luck. You got it. So God says, you get to be one of my puzzle pieces that you will fit in together with others. But the cool thing about that word for fit, it doesn't just mean kind of Lego fit. It means the conclusion of a conversation. That when we lay this conversation to rest and when it's over. And what Paul does is he uses a word, Lego, that reflects all the way back to Genesis 1. Do you see where that's going? Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, he spoke, and everything, boom, comes into being. God said, let there be, let there be, let there be. And on the sixth day, he rested. But he says, but you are my continued creation piece. I'm still doing a beautiful, mighty, wonderful work in you individually, and how you are going to come together and be a part of something even greater, something greater than yourself. So you are one Lego piece of God's great Lego masterpiece. God says, you are my Lego piece. I have a plan. I have a purpose. I have a service. I have something for each and every one of you. So if God has a purpose for you, if you are a part of something greater than yourself, then by golly, you're needed. You're desperately needed. You are wanted. We invite you in, but you absolutely matter. Abraham Kuyper, he said something so magnificent. I love this. There's not one square inch of earth where God does not declare mine. Everything on earth is his. And he says, and every other being. every person, you belong to me, which segues perfect for our first point. The kingdom wins when you, number one, get plugged in. When you get plugged in, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. So notice, for that to be true, for each one to do their special part, that's how you fit. So does the kingdom win if you don't get plugged in? No. We all have to do it together. So I have one brother. I have one older brother. We're exactly 17 months apart. It's just been him and I all our lives, and it was great. But then I married into a slightly larger family than mine. Bethany is number 8 of 13 kids. Take a moment. Yes, that's a lot of people. And it was rather intimidating. First thing I went to was a Christmas. We were just kind of boyfriend, girlfriend at that time. And so I go to this Christmas and I'm thinking, I just can't look like a bum. I just can't go and sit down and just do nothing. I got to be involved somehow. So as soon as I got there, I realized there was a bit of a competition going on with all of her siblings. It is the coolest thing. It's kind of like an ant colony. Everybody just knows what to do. And that, I mean, we have, our kids have 40 plus cousins just on that side. So, I mean, it has to be a well-oiled machine. So I got there and it was really cool. One after the other. They came up and they're so friendly. They're so nice. They hugged me, welcomed me in. And they immediately went, okay, hey, what's next? We stayed at Luke's house. All right, Luke, what do you need next? Becky, what do you want? You need to move the table, chairs. Next thing I knew, I asked once, how can I help? And I got put to work in no time. It was great. And then I got beat up playing basketball with all of our older brothers, and they whooped me up. It was a great time. Yeah, it was a great time. After you say that, I don't know if it was. But it was fun. The kingdom wins. The kingdom wins when you say to the King, how can I help? How can I get plugged in? How can I play my part that God, that you have already ordained and planned for me to have? The kingdom wins when you change your focus from inward to outward. When you shift from being a consumer, all about me, to a contributor, when you make it about others, as each part does its own special work. So let me share some wins here. There's been a lot of great wins. We have absolutely been just overwhelmed by the amount of people that said, hey, we want to serve, we want to help. These different areas are now, quote unquote, full because they reached all the people they needed. Our communion team, our bakery team, our Sunday morning babies. They said, we got all the people for holding babies. We're good. It's the next group up that needs it. And so those are some really wonderful wins. The worship team has done really well. And I believe John told me to remind you, there's still free air guitar strings in that bucket. It's an unlimited resource there. So anyways, those areas are doing really well. There are a few other areas where we are needing more help. One is the area of greeting. If you could help with greeting, whether it's parking greeting or greeting at a door, whatever it may be, we would love that. Greeting is one. Safety is another. And then also elementary kids. So you should have there in your program a little card that's about, we like serving. There's a QR code. You can take it to the Connection Center. You can put it in the basket back here. But would you please let us know how you feel led for serving? We'd love for you to dive in one of these areas. And I just so happen to be married to the new elementary kids director. And so I said, hey, elementary kids director, honey, do you have something that I could share with the congregation of your need? And so she shared this with me. This is from my wife, Bethany. She said, there's no greater blessing on earth than helping young ones grow in their faith in Christ. Oh, isn't that great? She's good. Helping them understand his word and learning to apply his word is just the most precious thing ever. She's so thoughtful. Jeff, if you forget my announcement, you will pay severely. Words cannot express the purgatory. That part was private. Sorry about that. That was not public. Whoops-a-daisies. There's more. Yada, yada, yada. We could really use help at 11 a.m. Okay, I got to admit, I'm not the best at delivering a joke, but I've been looking forward to that all week, just so you know. They could really use help at 11 in particular. We've gotten a great response in so many areas. We just want to say a huge thanks. Thank you so, so much. And then you can put those Connect cards or We Like Serving cards. I already told you that. So the kingdom wins. The kingdom wins when you realize that your maker made you for his purposes, that you are a Lego or puzzle piece of his grand design. So number one, get plugged in. Number two, the kingdom wins because your service impacts others. It absolutely impacts others. Part B of verse 16, it helps the other parts grow. Again, how are they going to grow if you do not come and play your part? Rick Warren has what is probably considered, well, eventually will be considered one of the classics of Christian living. And it's the purpose-driven life, What on Earth Am I Here For? Incredible, great book. In that, he has a story where he says, do you realize that apple trees produce apples not for themselves? Apple trees produce apples for others. And every fruit-bearing plant produces fruit for others, not for itself. And he said, so you're an apple tree. You do not exist just for yourself or your own benefit or your own pleasure. He says, you exist for the benefit and the pleasure of others. And I think he absolutely nailed it. You see, true joy comes in serving. True joy comes when you see others succeed, when you see others advance and do better. This is the heart of what Paul says in almost each of his letters. You realize he talks about joy, and that joy is either connected to Christ or it's connected to people. Listen to this, Philippians 4:1, part B. He says, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. 1 Thessalonians 2:19, after all, what gives us hope and joy and what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before our Lord Jesus when he returns? It is you. Yes, you are our pride and joy. So as a new pastor, we had a kids program. It's Christmas. Kids did whatever the number thing was. It was really cute. I sat over there on the very end. Next to me, one row behind me, the church was packed. Moms, dads, aunts, uncles, grandparents, everyone came. And was like, it was so sweet. It was so beautiful. And my buddy, his name's Kenan. Kenan is sitting right behind me, and two of his kids are part of this Christmas production. And I look back, and I was like, oh, that big sap. Kenan was not just like the single tear, the cute kind of tear thing. No, he was just streams of tears going down both sides of his face. And I was like, oh, good grief. And the next thing I knew, because I was like, oh, that's really special. That's really sweet. I start to get emotional and I start crying. I don't have a kid in the thing. And I'm struggling to keep it together. So I got to pull away and turn away from my buddy. So after the end of the service, I had to do something at the end. I had to do this big thank you. And so anyways, everything's over. And I go up to him and I was like, dude, what was your deal? You couldn't keep it together. And I can still hear the tone of his voice in my mind. He said, I couldn't help it. He couldn't. That was one of the most precious moments I've seen. A dad full of joy, full of pride, because his kids were doing, yes, it was cute, and they did it, they practiced, they rehearsed time and time and time again. Oh, it was awesome. When you get to be a part, whether it's the tiniest part or maybe you have a big part, and you see those others succeed, overcome the difficulty, the struggle, or even if it's a sports achievement, a school achievement, whatever it is, when you see them and they get that kind of award or that moment, that's their moment, man, the look of pride and joy in a mom and dad's face and aunts, uncles, grandparents is the coolest thing. Paul says that's it. It's this cycle. That as I win because I get to dive in. And whenever I plug in, then it helps others. And the kingdom wins. And it continues this cycle over and over. And it gives me great fulfillment just by being a part. Oh, that's so stinking good. So number one, the kingdom wins when you get plugged in. Number two, embrace that your service impacts others. Then number three, the kingdom wins because serving creates a kingdom mindset. And that kingdom mindset creates a kingdom culture, by the way. And that's so beautiful to see that that's evident here. Let me read the last part of the verse, Ephesians 4:16, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Isn't that the kind of church you want to be a part of? A healthy one, a growing one, one that's full of love. Have you ever noticed that everything that you do communicates? Everything you do communicates. The active family, the non-active, you do it, whatever it may be. So our family has become the hiking family in our family. We've lived here a whole 2 months, and we've been to the top of Pike's Peak 3 times. Driving every time, by the way. But our family's from Kansas. So every time family comes, we got, actually, Bethany's got 2 of her sisters and 1 of her nieces here today. So we just went 2 days ago. It was a lot of fun. So that's the thing. Whenever people come, hey, you want to go up Pike's Peak? Who wants a headache? It's coming. They're Flatlanders. They're not used to it. I'm still not used to it. So it's like, oh, sorry, forgot about that. Bring lots of water. A little late. So that's what we've become known as, that unintentionally. But everything you do communicates. So what does it communicate when we serve? Number one, it communicates I'm all in. Kind of like the center field song, put me in, coach, I'm ready to play. I'm ready to go, put me in. I am all in on God's kingdom work at this place. When you serve, it communicates loud and clear. I tried using the whole Texas Hold'em thing in the first service. That fell short. Anyways, Texas Hold'em, everybody know what that is? You play the cards, the chips, you put the chips in. My mom didn't let me do that because that's for heathens and pagans whenever I grew up. Just kidding. So you got to put your chips in order to stay in the game. And that's what it's communicating. Hey, I'm all in here. I'm ready to go. Just put me in. It tells others, outsiders. It tells guests. It tells those that have been here for a long time. It communicates to everyone. Number one, I'm all in. But number two, we've thought of you. We're ready for you. We have a plan for you. We have a next step for you. You are not a surprise. Oh, you got kids? Oh, I don't know what to do with them. It communicates every time. We have thought of you. This place feels safe. There's volunteers outside. It's safe there for check-in and so on. It communicates so much. All in, we've thought of you. And then number three, easy for them, hard for us. I love that expression. We don't want to put a guest in a situation where it's complicated, where it's harder for them, to where they have to jump through hoops. Crazy thing is, so I just did this, you know, whatever, an hour ago, and someone said, hey, the situation just happened. Do you realize that this is a little full in here? Is it a little snug? You got elbow room? We do not have a whole lot of extra seats in here, and sometimes people got to go to the overflow. So this is just a request or a question to throw out there. For easy for them, hard for us. Can we get all of our life groups, our ABFs, whatever the kind of group is that you call it, would you guys consider taking one of the 12 months, just 1 month, to say, hey, we will pre-fill the overflow. And we'll have so many that will overflow, and maybe even the cafe, whatever it is. But that way, when a guest comes to our church, we don't have to say, oh, I'm sorry, we're full. Do you mind going up those steps, going down the hallway a little ways, yada, yada, yada. We want to make it as easy for everyone. So I'm willing to do what is hard. 2 Sundays ago, I think it was. So I'm the discipleship pastor Sunday morning. I don't have a whole lot of duties, so I do the doors a lot. It's the coolest thing. Just, I think it was 2 Sundays ago, if I remember right. A dad drops the family off, and he was going the speed limit of what we need for the parking lot. They were running a little late, but anyways, he drops them off. They come inside. They were walking kind of quick. The dad goes out to the street. I'm like, what's he doing? Because there's a lot of parking spots right there. And he drove across the street down to the houses at the end. And then he does his Sunday morning jog on across the parking spot. And I thought, that's exactly what it is. Easy for them, hard for us. He parked as far away as possible because he knows after 9:30, this craziness of all the traffic and everything that takes place. And he is living it out. I was like, way to go, Dad. Serving communicates. I'm all in. We thought of you. Easy for them, hard for us. So what about us as a whole, a church as a whole? How are we doing on this? Now, I know this is my first time, you know, ever teaching, so there's a lot of evaluating kind of stuff going on. Oh, whatever it is that you're thinking, not too concerned about it. By the way, I'm evaluating you too. Goes both ways. And it's been very fun. If I could just use one word, what's the last 2 months been for me? Bethany, she's been over in the kids. And man, it's just been fun. So I have a series of questions that I ask. And then one of my wrap-up questions, I've done it at ABFs, I've done it at life groups, whenever I have the chance. I ask the question, what got you here? Like, we're kind of a main road, but 25's over there, InterQuest or whatever is up there. But what brought you here? That's number one. But the bigger question is, what kept you? What made you return? What made you say in those first 7 to 10 minutes, oh, I want to come back to this church? So I want to share with you what you have already shared with me, and these are great. My kids always want to go to youth. As a parent, do you know how big of a deal that is? Again, I remember what that guy was saying. I can hear his voice. I love the worship that has been said to me many, many, many times, whether it's traditional service, the contemporary service, the high quality service that we have, services. I've heard that many times. One gal said, no, all that was good, but it was the incredible women's ministry that got me connected. Oh, I thought that was awesome. One person said, and I quote, it's very cheerful. It was so friendly and welcoming. As soon as I walked in, it felt so good. Oh, that's great. The kids' ministry, everything they do is good. Our kids love it here. Academy is great at supporting kids. Those are great compliments. When we pulled in, there were people outside waving at us and asked if we would like help. It stuck out that much. She shared that with me. Over and over, I've heard, I love my ABF. For a new person, that means Adult Bible Fellowship, the Sunday morning groups that take place. I love my ABF. I love my ABF. I could have a page of that. I love my life group. I love my life group. I'd have another page of that. And to hear the gal that talked about when she went through loss and the first people to contact her. We got great pastors, but the first ones to contact her were people in her group. The pastors contacted her too. That meant the world to her, how they were there for her. One person said, I walked in and it felt like family. Oh, that's great. Oh, forgot. I love Brian's teaching. I've heard that a lot. That was mine. That was my point. Everyone talks about that. I've heard all these so many times. It's like on repeat now. But what does every single one of those compliments reflect upon? You guys serving. Whether it's Brian serving with his gift, whether it's somebody at the door, somebody outside, somebody serving your kids right now that are in the other room, every one of these compliments is because people are dedicated in serving. Oh, I just love it. The kingdom wins when we get a kingdom mindset. And that kingdom mindset, therefore, creates a kingdom culture. And this is the last one. And it's not the last one. It's actually, it should have been the first one. It is the ultimate one. The kingdom first has to win right here. It first wins in our heart. If God doesn't win this, then the other things kind of don't matter. Eternity. If God doesn't have this, then, oh, you're missing out. You're missing out so much. This is a kind of twofold one. The kingdom wins first in your heart. First, for the person that hasn't trusted in Jesus yet, will you do that right now? Will you do that today? Will you place your trust, your faith in Jesus Christ rather than putting your faith in yourself or something else? Will you do that right now? Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Will you do that this moment? You can skip the rest of the teaching. Will you trust in Jesus rather than trusting in yourself? Will you own that he says you're his puzzle piece and that his plan for your life, by the way, is so much greater than your plan for your life? So will you submit to him? Will you do just like the young ones did moments ago, saying, hey, you know what? I've believed in Jesus, but I've never trusted to the extent of sharing that faith openly by being baptized. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe it's to join in serving, whatever it may be. I love what Mark Twain, the great theologian, Mark Twain, what he said. The two most important days of your life, the day you're born and the day you find out why. And maybe today's that day that God created you, not just for your own funsies, for your own desires, but God created you for others' benefit. He created you so that you could know Him as your Lord and Savior. He created you so that you could have a relationship with Him. Will you respond to God however He's leading today? So the last one is this. The kingdom wins. The kingdom wins when we ask the King, when we ask King Jesus, what do you want of me? Will you do that? Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much. Wow. To think about how there's so much going on in the world, there's so much going on in the cosmos, and you have said, I have already planned everything I have for you. Lord, help us. Help us to have clarity as to whatever our next step is in following you by faith. And Jesus, may you give us the courage also to follow it through. Help us, Lord, as we trust you by faith. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.